Hey there, welcome to Lie Number 44 with Monica Packer. Today we're unpacking this lie that I am broken. You're listening to the What's the Truth podcast with me, Jessica Hoddle. I'm a number one bestselling author, wife, and coach. I refuse to let you keep believing the lies that are coming at you from every direction. Every week, I'll speak truth, bring encouragement, and inspire you as I uncover the lies you may believe to be true about your life. Each episode is meant to challenge the way you think to change the way you live. You'll want to listen to this lie, particularly because I love that she addresses our human side, our humanity. And what I mean by this is that we cannot live up to a standard of perfection, but we also don't live to a standard of brokenness, meaning what we think matters, how we think matters. And Monica is one of the perfect people to be talking about this because she's an online educator, she's a former teacher, and her podcast, her community, her Instagram is all about progress. Literally, that's her name, about progress. Therefore, you can tell that she is passionate about helping women make progress from what feels broken to helping them walk into their true identity. You are in for a real treat today. Let's go ahead and get to the interview. Monica, thank you so much for taking the time to be on the podcast today. I'm really excited about diving into this lie. I am broken. And I think that this lie can probably be we'll be relating to a lot of women, especially now, of just feeling like their world might be falling apart, or they're not doing enough, or like they're just not measuring up to the world standard or even their own standard. Tell us about why this lie means so much to you.
I think this lie means so much to me because I have believed it a lot in my past, and sometimes I still do. And I also think it's important because I see it a lot in the women that I work with. It comes up so much. It's just this belief. And again, I have been there and still am sometimes. Like, not only am I broken, but I am unusually broken. Like, no, you don't understand. Like, I am unfixable. The thing that I want to be better about me, or the things, I can just never get there. And that means like I can keep trying, but nothing will work. And that kind of lends to like the third reason why I think it's so important. If you believe that you are broken, it's also hard to believe that it's possible to change. And that's where you see people giving up, you know, just a little bit too soon, like right before they're about to make some big progress and big gains and growth. Or you see people never trying in the first place, because if you don't have that belief, then what's going to carry you through it? I mean, it's just like anything else in your life. If you don't believe it's possible, then you won't even start or try or continue. And, you know, the reverse of this is if you believe that we're all, you know, broken in a way, but none of us are unusually broken, meaning none of us are beyond repair. None of us are beyond fixing and working on and growing. Then you're able to better lean into what really demands of us is messy progress to change. You are ready and willing to take part in the process of slow, steady, messy, imperfect growth. And you don't make it mean something even more about you. You know, when things don't go your way and you don't measure up, or you mess up one day, you don't say, see, look, again, I'm broken, so I can't change, so I'll just stop now. Instead, you say, oh, look, I made another mistake. That's okay. It's part of the process. I'm going to keep going, or I'm going to try again, or I'm going to do this thing different. It gives you the power that you need to keep going, because you know, oh, that's part of the process. That's what the process looks like to change and to develop and to be a better person. It's messy. It's imperfect. And all the missteps along the way don't mean that I am unusually broken. It just means I'm human.
Yeah. What about a story in your life that you kind of came aware to this lie? Is there a particular moment in your history or your time or your journey that you're like, wow, this is the first time I can even remember saying that I feel that? Because I don't know if we ever come out and say, I'm just so broken, but it might come out in all these different forms, right? These lies or these things that we say. Can you remember a time that it first started for you?
Yeah, I can remember lots of times, but I think the first initial time where I just really did feel not only broken, but unusually broken, like beyond repair. Nothing was helping. I couldn't change. I was back when I was 20 and I was at my series of lows of rock bottoms with eating disorders that I had that also had developed into a lot of other myriad of mental health issues, you know, depression, anxiety, panic disorders, like anything you can think of. It's, you know, kind of all wrapped up in that nice little package with eating disorders. And I first, like, I went to get help through the free counseling at my university at the time. And like, while it was helpful, it also, I had this mindset that I should fix myself right away, that it could be something that I just really work hard on and I'd be fixed right away. And, you know, of course, like I learned, things often get worse before they get better. And when they got worse, that's when I initially felt that first like round of fear and shame and despair about how unusually broken I felt and how beyond repair I felt I was. And it actually was then that I, like, you know, went to my therapist and was like, you know, I'm feeling this way. I will I ever get better? Like, is it possible? And I've actually asked several therapists that version of question about different things, you know, since then. But then he said something to me that was actually really helpful. And it's not what you might expect when you hear what he said, but he said to me, and just like, you know, Paul's thorn in his side, like, this is probably going to be your thorn in the side, like the rest of your life. It's not going to be something that you will be completely healed from the rest of your life. And, you know, when he said that, it actually made me feel better, not worse. It made me feel like, oh, it's okay that I haven't fixed this after like a few months of treatment. It's okay that I am still struggling. Not even still, I'm even worse. It's okay. Like, it means that this is just something I'm going to have to be aware of. And I will say though, like, while that was helpful, I do think I'm completely a different person. And I do feel like I have been like probably 90% healed, you know, in that way. But it's also taken me 14 years to get to this point. So that first moment of feeling like, oh, I'm unusually broken, it was helpful to hear that. But I felt that way again, over and over and over again, especially the first probably 2 years of my recovery. But that's, you know, lends the point what we're talking about first is it's a process. It takes time and you're not going to see the change until hindsight in 2020 delivers it to you. Or you just notice like the sun rose and all of a sudden you're like, wow, I'm different. Or wow, I feel like myself today. Like, how did that happen? Or when did that happen? And you won't really be able to put your finger on it. But the more you believe, like in the process, the more you're going to be able to move through it so you can change.
What you said about how he said that to you, do you think that you said it helped you during that time? Do you think it ever hindered you too, thinking, wow, am I going to struggle with this for the rest of my life? Because I think some women might think that too, but I love that you said, well, now looking back, I'm feeling like I've grown so much, mm-hmm. And being able to use that versus
the despair part, you know, like when you're like, no, this is, cause, and I hear this too with, you know, people who struggle with addiction. Some people say like, I'm an alcoholic, and other people don't want to carry that identity of this is my burden. This is who I am. And I get that. I don't think there's a wrong or right answer to that. It's more about what's going to help you. But the way he worded it and the way that it was delivered, it wasn't like, this is your life sentence. Yeah. You can't go far. You can't change. It wasn't that. It was more of, this is something you will need to be aware of and will probably struggle with the rest of your life. But that felt better than saying, yeah, why aren't you fixed by now? Like, what's wrong with you? Like, no, why isn't this over already? Mm-hmm. It felt different. And actually that to me gave me more empowerment because it almost removed the identity from me instead of being like an anorexic or a bulimic or a binger. I was someone who struggled with this thing.
Yeah.
It almost removed it from me. So I could say it's going to be something I struggle with, but it's not who I am. That was a huge difference.
Yeah. No, I love that you said that. It wasn't like this jail sentence. It wasn't like this bondage. And I think I wanted women to hear that too, that it wasn't like you were saying, oh, you're just, why even try kind of thing, you know, because it's, oh, well, I'm going to have this rest of my life. Why even try? But I love that you said, well, it took time 14 years later. Mm-hmm. I'm still wrestling with it. When this lie comes for us, what do you think begins to break us the most?
I think it's confirmation bias. That's like more of the psychological, you know, answer to it. But really, this is how our brains are wired. We're wired to see evidence about what we believe. And I think that continues to kind of break us down when we continue to see seemingly evidence over and over again that supports this belief that we hold about ourselves. And again, like we said this in the beginning too, if you believe you're broken, you're going to find evidence for that. And you continue to get broken down every time you see it, because again, it's like, well, that's who I am. That's me. I don't start. I don't finish. I never change. It continues to confirm the identity, the belief you have about being broken. So that's something I see a danger of, is just, you know, being able to be removed. This is something I work with women on everything. Like, they come to me thinking they want to work on habits, and they actually need to work on their identity and their beliefs about who they are. Because if you can work on changing that, then you can also use confirmation bias for your benefit there too. So every time you do something that is in alignment with who you want to be, not even just who you are, because maybe you're not there yet, but who you want to be, then you can confirm, actually, this is who I am. That's like me. This is who I am. And, you know, again, it can be something that helps us advance instead of further break us down, if we can shift more the beliefs and the way we view ourselves.
Yeah. What perspective? So we don't want to see ourselves as broken necessarily. What would you encourage women to begin seeing themselves as?
Human, just mortal human. Like, you're human. You are on earth. It's impossible to be perfect. And it's not that you're broken, you're human. And actually, so I've had several therapists for several different things, and I'm so glad for that. But one of the ones I worked with probably the last 5 years, we were just talking about stuff, and I thought I was so much better in all these like perfectionistic ways, you know, and then I continue to realize it comes out in other ways, and then another way, and another way, like you kind of like the pop-a-mole or whatever those games are, where you're like, just continue to hit them. That's okay. That's kind of part of the process too. But I found another area, and she just pointed out to me, she's like, why can't Monica Packer be human? Like, why aren't you allowed to be human? What is that about? And I was like, okay, you are right. Like, that actually is a big core part of this, is I carry some shame about being human, and that's dumb. Like, what else could I be right now? I can only be human. So that actually has been a super empowering thing too, is being like, it's okay that I'm not perfect or even close to it. It's okay, because I'm human.
Mm-hmm. How would you describe to somebody though, in a little bit more in depth, when you think of being human, speaking to their emotional side, what would you speak to their emotional side being like, hey, you're human, instead of looking at yourself as broken, not good enough, making mistakes, shame, guilt, all the things? How would you describe humanity to somebody?
I think brokenness is more of like, again, an identity. It's like this is wrong about me, and it's also because of me. Like, it's more shame driven. It's more about self-blaming and shaming. But humanity is more of like this is something we all are, and I can't be different than other people in this way. Like, there's no way for me to not be human too. And so it also, again, is another way of like detaching it from your identity. It's not about blame. It's about awareness. Awareness is good. That's a whole lot different than shame and blame. Like, awareness is good. Like, we do want to be better. We do want to progress. We do want to change. Like, I'm about progress. That's my podcast. That's my community. That's everything I do with my coaching and my courses, about progress. We're about awareness and seeing where we want to do better and striving for that, but embracing our worth and our identity, our wholeness, no matter what. Our outcomes can't prove our worth. It really is the process. You know, our transformation lies in the process. And when you own your humanity, you see that as, this is just what the position is we are in. It's not who I am. It's my position. Then we're able to have the awareness we need to see where we're a little off track and work towards that, or a lot off track.
Yeah.
And work from that, you know, towards that, from a place of accepting, again, the process that as a human, I will not be able to fix myself with superhuman effort overnight.
And I love that God, when he created humanity, when he created us, he took the works right out of it from the beginning. You know, we don't have to do anything to earn the rightful place as an heir. Like, he rested on the seventh day after he created us. There was no work. So we didn't get on this earth and start working. We actually
didn't have to earn to be here.
Yeah. Like we actually right into it. And I think kind of what I'm hearing you say too is like to encourage women in the progress of like, you don't have to earn every single step of the way to prove that you're not broken or to prove that you're not, or that you are worthy or that you can do this. It's just because there are things, right? We have a flesh side and then the spirit side, and they war against each other. And we always have to remember, you know, putting on the mind of Christ. And I know it's easier said than done. Let's just say that. Yes. But I love that you said awareness of how can you help somebody be aware of their thoughts. I'm really passionate about this topic of being aware and acknowledging without embracing it. Because we can do that. It's just like that filtering. It's taking the thoughts captive. What does that look like to you when you're helping women be aware?
This is difficult. I'm just going to own it. Like that part was the most difficult part about my recovery from eating disorders and other recoveries of things I've been working on for a long time too, is awareness of thoughts and how much they come into play. Because we're pretty much not conscious to them, even though they're thoughts, you know? So I think honestly, the first step is trying to increase awareness. That's it. I mean, that's all you really can do in the beginning. You can't change them necessarily in the beginning. You can with time. You can't decide what you're going to think ahead of time, but you can just be aware of them and start to remove the judgment from them too. Notice, be aware, and then you can work on shifting and changing. And for me, it's hard to describe because it really is such like an inner work. It really is like this complexity of like spirit and brain, you know, like just really having some, like you're opening your inner eyes almost like what's going on in there. What am I thinking? And another way you can do this too, I think, is paying attention to how I'm feeling in my body. I think our bodies really are such gifts. And, you know, I believe that's why we came to earth, so we could have like this special vessel. And when we're in this, I think it also can be like serving us in ways that we are trying to ignore or that easy to ignore. So like a lot of what I focused on the beginning was what's happening. Like if my thoughts are going rapid, that also means my heart is beating faster. I'm breathing shallower. I'm feeling tense in my body or tingling or like, you know, all tensed up. Like there were other ways for me to still identify something's off because my body is off too. And then I can think, why is that? And then I can, you know, work on awareness. Let's point this back to what thoughts am I thinking right now that are creating this response in my body? And that helps make that connection as well. I think so. As well as, you know, breathing through it, which is a whole other thing. I know I'm going on a whole tangent here, but I mean, it just takes so much practice.
Yeah. No, I love what you said about techniques of just, that is a technique of doing a body scan. And it's hard, like you said, in those moments when you just yelled at somebody that cut you off in the middle of the road, you know, in their car, and you're like, why am I so mad about this? Mm-hmm. And it could just be something else, but are you clenching the steering wheel? Your shoulders tight.
Yeah.
I always like to say your body's the biggest storyteller. And so it's going to tell you what your mind is thinking, communicating in your body.
Definitely.
How can we not live from this place of brokenness?
I think it's really complex there because so much of it involves everything we've been talking about today. Like if we could like put this all in a little present and give it to someone, if we can navigate life from a place of strength, it goes back to knowing who we are again. So if you don't want to navigate life from a place of brokenness, you need to navigate it from, well, who am I? And if you can't start there, think about who do I want to be? Because I believe who we want to be is really who we are. I really believe that. And you can start there. Who do I want to be? And starting from that place of a strong identity, I know who I am. I know who I want to be. I know my value innately. I know that I'm allowed to be human. I'm allowed to be imperfect. That is a different kind of power. That's a different kind of way of navigating life and the difficulties that are thrown at us and the disappointments that we face even in ourselves. Because I still get disappointed in myself. I still do things where I'm like, wow, you do know better than that. And you know, that's not who I want to be. That's not in alignment with my identity. And that's going to happen. But because I know that's life, this is what it's all about, then I'm okay to continue going forward and continue to strive to be who I want to be.
Can you make a differentiation between being human and not making excuses for being human? Does that make sense?
Oh yeah. Yeah, it's not a take it or leave it mentality. Okay, this is not like my way or the highway. This is who I am, so take it or leave it. It's not that. I'm glad you're differentiating that. Like, there does need to be a differentiation. Like, again, this it has to come back to I'm human and this is who I want to be. I am human and this is the way I want, I know I and can recognize I want to do better. It's not a way to excuse yourself. Okay. Those are the people who are not growing. Like, if you think about plants, if they're not growing, they're dying. And if you're giving yourself excuses, like this is just who I am, you really are dying on the vine there. I think it's not so much about being the perfect, if we're going to go with this analogy, like becoming the perfect flower that like grew up perfectly straight and symmetrical and like all the leaves, the perfect size and the petals like perfectly arranged. It's not that. Like even flowers grow crooked, right? They're like continuing to reach different places for different suns. I'm like, oh, correct. Oh, course correct. No, let's go this way. No, you know, and there's going to be parts that are wrong with it. It's not about how perfect it is. It's that you have been reaching for that arrival and you can continue to tweak and tweak and tweak. So it's not a way of excusing yourself from it for sure. And that's definitely why I'm about progress. You know, I do believe this is what we are here to do. I think we are designed and we have an innate desire to grow and to develop and to change and to rise higher and be better. Like, I think that's who we are. That's part of our spirits. And if we've denied that in ourselves, we will again, die on the vine. And I know we'll feel it. We'll feel it in our souls. Like we'll feel off when we know we're not reaching for more and trying.
Yeah. I keep thinking of the scripture, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Hmm. And I think it's beautifully what you're saying is when we continue to think of what we're not, you know, we're broken or we're not good enough or, you know, I'm not qualified, whatever those things are that come for us, it just leads to death, death on the vine, right? And that actually disconnects us from the vine, the true vine. But when we think about life, when we think about the truth about who God says we are, it produces life and peace in our lives. And that's really why I wanted you to differentiate, because when I talk about freedom, it's easy to swing one way. Well, I'm just human and that's fine. Like, I'm just going to lash out at my husband because I'm human, or, you know, and we start to easily make excuses for sin or feeling shame. Even we can make excuses for feeling our feelings and staying there and think we kind of put ourselves, I like to say, in our own punishment. You know, like, oh, well, I deserve this, so I'm going to punish myself with carrying this shame.
Yeah.
What would you, further techniques of maybe one or two things that you would like to encourage women in this area, whether it's thinking process, awareness process, or progress in general, that you would want to leave them with?
Yeah, it's do something. You don't have to have the right plan. You don't have to have the steps A to Z. You don't have to be doing the right way. Like, you know, of course there's this moral right way, but like, you don't have to have the plan given to you. Here's the right way to do this. You have to do something. If you don't know what you want, start something, do something. That actually is what really changed my life 5 years ago. I just realized I had a series of things I had on the back burner for so long, dreams, ambitions, interests. And actually, I think in denying who I was and who I wanted to be and things I wanted to do and be interested in was honestly denying my spirit, denying my desire to grow, which I also think was like God given, you know? And so I just started doing those things. I started doing something, things that I had thought, oh, I wish I could do that, but that looks so interesting. Or wouldn't that be fun if, like, just the answers to those kind of questions. And I just started doing them, and none of it was like, go back to law school or, you know, go serve in the Peace Corps, all which are wonderful things, but they weren't like huge, like these are worthy monumental things that will prove that I'm a person of substance, which again are totally okay. It was still like these small things that I just started doing, and they evolved to another thing, to another thing. And it was almost like I was following this map that I was only seeing the next, you know, part as I went along. And I was like, oh, I'll go this way a little bit and I'll try this thing. And over time, I feel like I'm still on it too. I'm still on this quest, right? For the treasure. And I am seeing more of like all the clues meld together to be like, oh, all along, this is who I was and this is who I am. And now I'm further developing that person. I know better and better and better with every passing day who I am, what my purpose is, and how I can continue to strive to fulfill that. So do something. Think about what are the things that you see other people do that you wish you could, or you'd like to start, or you keep thinking about it and never doing it. Start there. Mm-hmm. I really feel like that's an admirable, honorable, and God-given way to begin, mm-hmm. to begin to find yourself again. And then, you know, as you do that, you're going to bless so many other people.
Yeah,
because just of that.
Being obedient to what he's called you to do instead of being delayed obedience, right? Of, wow, I really should have done that a long time ago, and giving yourself permission to try. I always like to tell women to look at it objectively, or ask them like, well, what does it even mean to be quote unquote perfect? You know, what does it mean to live healthy for you? Getting them even thinking about what, I don't even know. Because a lot of times we're just basing our idea off of something we see on social media. Well, this looks perfect, so I'm holding my ideal up to here, but they don't even realize that they're doing that, you know?
So
I love it. I love that you're like, just do something. It's a powerful message, but it sounds so simplistic, but it's what we need. We need to be reminded that every day that you show up is just as important as making dinner, changing beds. Like it all matters, right? So where can we find more about you and about progress and making progress?
Yeah. You can join us at my podcast primarily. We're About Progress, about everywhere. I think everywhere podcasts are. I'm also on Instagram at About Progress. I love to connect with women there. And it's just a really great community. Like it's about, you know, women who are doing something and striving and growing, but also doing that weird balance of embracing who they are too and learning more about themselves along the way. So it's a really fun place to be.
Awesome. Well, I'll make sure all the show notes are in the links below. And just thank you so much, Monica, for your time and your knowledge that you shared with us.
Oh, I'm so happy to be here. Thank you, Jessica.
P.S. One more thing. If you've ever felt like you weren't good enough, smart enough, pretty enough, thin enough, strong enough, worthy enough, or doing enough, then my best-selling book, Know Your Worth, is for you. If you knew what you were worth, would you settle for anything less? It's not uncommon to feel inadequate, whether it's issues surrounding your career, your body, relationships, or your finances. You will discover gems to apply in your own life as I take you through my own journey of how I was able to overcome the unthinkable by realizing my worth wasn't tied in the things or people, but to God. In this book, I really walk you through the how-to of stop settling for relationships that do nothing but cause you pain. Find the tools you need to be successful in life. Realize you are beautiful just the way you are. Refuse to settle for anything less than what's God's best for your life. And recognize that no matter what your past looks like, it doesn't have to be your future.